No, we're not going to be here that long. Well, I worked the last 4 or 5 days in this message and got everything ready and did the PowerPoint and on our computer at home and didn't put it on the memory stick. So we're going to do this tonight without the PowerPoint. So let's turn over our Bibles to Proverbs, the book of Proverbs. You guys all got our memory verse recited for the month, Proverbs 6:23, "For the commandment is the lamp and the law of light. Reproofs of instructions are a way of life." While you're turning over there, I'll give you some background on Proverbs. Proverbs was a book that was compiled from wise sayings of Solomon that he spoke throughout his lifetime. It's also sayings from other wise, holy men, and as well as Agar and King Lemuel. Solomon was said to have spoken some 3,000 wise statements. 800 of them are in the book here of Proverbs. You know, the book of Proverbs and the words in the book of Proverbs are not promises. These are facts that bear truth that have been tested by time. Proverbs, the word Proverbs itself means it's a profound pronouncement. You see on the top of your handout, I put a statement up there, the big idea of Proverbs. I really like this by Dr. Constable. The book of Proverbs is about godly wisdom and how to obtain it and how to use it. The book is about Proverbs and principles, not a get-rich scheme or success formula. It doesn't tell us how to make a living, but instead, it teaches us how to be skillful in the lost art of making a life. We all know how difficult life is, and Proverbs gives us some wonderful precepts to live a godly life. In Proverbs chapter 1, we'll go there real quick and we'll see what the book of Proverbs is for. Book of chapter 1 of Proverbs and verse 2. It says, "To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instructions of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase his learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an igmia, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The trust of the Lord is the beginning of our knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction." So Solomon's saying here, "My son, hear the instructions of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother. They will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains around your neck." This is the foundation of the book of Proverbs. You know, we can read the words from the book of Proverbs. We can take instructions to gain wisdom. And we can learn what the will of God is for us in our life. You know, God inspired all these words in the book of Proverbs, as well as the rest of the words in the Bible. You know, Solomon taught these principles, and I'm sure they were taught to him by his father, David, but he taught them to his son, Rehoboam. You know, Rehoboam was a king after David when he passed away, and Rehoboam was said he did not follow after God's principles, so he made the choice to not take heed to these proverbs and principles. He made a terrible mistake. Proverbs talks about wisdom and folly, and Rehoboam chose the way of the folly. We see these precepts and generation, or precepts and commandments can be passed on from generation to generation. We can see how through the Word of God we can learn what God wants for us in our life. And these are very important principles to teach to our children. Very, 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 very important. Let's turn over in our text now to 6 verse 20. That's the beginning of the text, is in verse 20. It says, "My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother." Kind of the same thing we've seen in chapter 1. You know, he's saying here that it's important to listen, and it's also important for us as we learn these proverbs is to own them, to apply them to our life. You know, we can read them and we can understand them, but if we don't own them and don't apply them to our life, they really don't mean nothing. The word here, we're going to define a few of our words in your handout. You see, the first word is command, commandment. We see that in verse 20. We also are going to see that in our verse. But just so you understand what that word means, it's the word miswa, which means a statute, precept, or ordinance. A statute, precept, or ordinance. We would have had this on the PowerPoint, and you would have seen the proper spelling for it, but I'm trust that you can figure it out. Statute, precept, or ordinance. And the next word is the word law. The law is the word Torah. This means direction or instruction. You know, a lot of us think of the law, we think right away of the Ten Commandments or the total of 613 laws. But no, this means direction or instruction. I kind of like to use the analogy of often you probably have said it to your children or you as a child have heard it that mother said, just wait till your dad gets home. He's going to lay down the law. I've heard that quite a few times. So, law means direction or instruction. So we see in verse 21 now, it says, and bind them continually around your neck, or your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak to you. The bind here is a word, kashar. It means to physically tie around your neck. I can't help but think of when I was growing up, we had a dog. And I don't remember how old we were, but the dog was a playful young dog. And one day it played with the wrong thing. It chewed up a brand new pair of my dad's boots. So dad took the pair of boots and he tied it around the dog's neck and left it there the whole week long. That dog never again chewed on anybody's shoes because they were tied around his neck and he remembered that. And that's sometimes what we need to do. We need to tie these precepts, these commandments, these proverbs around our necks so that we remember. And that's what he's telling us there. When you awake, they will speak to you. If you implant the Word of God in your mind, when you awake, it'll speak to you. Now we get to our memory, verse 623. You see, for the commandment, we learn the commandment is the precept or statute, is a lamp. The commandment or instruction, what to do, is the lamp. The word lamp is the word neira, which means to glisten like a candle. Neira, glisten like a candle. The law is a light, it says, and the law of light. It means our direction is our light or illumination. Our direction is illuminated by this light. So the lamp carries the idea of something glistening, and the light means direct illumination. So the glistening precept is being illuminated by the instruction of the law. By the instruction of the law. Reproof carries the idea of reproofs of instructions are the way of life. Reproof carries the meaning of correction or reasoning. Correction or reasoning. Reprove means to decide, to convince, or judge, but reproof is the word tuke qua, which implies the byproduct of being reproved. So reproof here carries the idea of correction or reasoning. And the last word we have here is the word instruction. Instruction is the Hebrew word musar, which means chastisement, correction, or discipline. Figuratively, it means warning you. But so the instruction is the chastisement or discipline. You know, we can all make a choice to take these commandments, take these precepts and own them for ourselves. Or we can make a choice not to. And this context, that's the context of this. But the content of this passage of Scripture and the rest of the verse of the chapter talk directly about warning his son about adultery, warning us about adultery, and how important it is that we realize the repercussions of adultery. We're to keep away from it. We're to run from it. We can take these commandments, we can apply them to our life, or we can choose not to, and we could choose the way of the world. These commandments should intertwine through every decision we make in our life. Every decision we make should be with the light that, is this what God wants for me in my life? Is this the will of God? Would God be honored by this decision I'm going to make? The fool part of this whole chapter, by making the wrong decisions, is in verse 32. It says, whosoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. It's total destruction of the soul. You know, I can't help but think, I got a few more minutes here, but we've been studying the book of Genesis and journaling through it, and in Genesis chapter 3, and the picture of Eve in the garden, and her being Satan, the serpent, come up to her and said, you know, look at that tree, it's so good to eat, why don't you eat it? And you could be strong and wise like God. And Eve saw the tree was good, and she made the mistake. She had the lust of the flesh. She seen the tree was a delight to her eyes. She had the lust of her eyes. It was desirable to make one wise. She had the pride of life. It had everything to be a destruction for her and ultimately for Adam, because Adam made the choice as well that he was going to eat of that fruit. We perceive it, we lust on it, and then we act on it. So the key to this whole thing is stop it. Cut the head off the snake. Because we know the byproduct of this sin. You know, the victory over temptation to violate God's will depends on a thorough knowledge of God's Word and an unwavering confidence that God is good. God is good all the time. Therefore, we need to know God's will for us in our life. We need to study His Word. The only way we learn what God's will is we study it. Proverbs got some tremendous proverbs in it that teaches us these things. And it also comes, true wisdom comes by then obeying, taking this and applying it and obeying it to our lives. So these are warnings. This memory verse to tell us that these commandments and these lights and reproofs and instructions are a way of life. This is important in our sanctification once we become believers in Jesus Christ. Hope that makes sense. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we had to open up your word and go quickly through this verse, Lord. We're so thankful for the word of God. You tell us to sanctify him with truth, and your word is truth, Lord. We're so thankful for every word in it, these inspired words that give us direction for life. As difficult as life is, we pray that we would all make the proper decisions. That when these evil thoughts come in our head, that we would stop and understand and realize that you are on the throne. We don't need to go down this path, Lord. And we're just thankful that we can do this because of knowledge of the Word. And we just pray that we would be indoctrinated in that thought. We'd be digging into your Scripture and learn more about you, Lord, so that we can honor and glorify you with our life, Lord. And we're so thankful for this time, thankful for this passage. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.